this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
Hello out there. I would like to scan one of you listeners here. I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually a painful one, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature. There's a doctor present, Dr. Lane. I know that you've all been prepared for this.
Are there any scans that are pleasurable? Kevin, are you scanning me right now? I don't think I gave you permission.
I think Ben is scanning me, and then it does kind of hurt, but in a good way.
If he's scanning you and I'm scanning him, wait.
Who's scanning you?
Uh-oh.
Is there another scanner somewhere? We're talking scanners on the Pod of Dreams.
I would like to scan all of you in this room, one at a time. I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually a painful one, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature. At this point, I'd like to call for volunteers. Just sit right here, please. Now, I'd like you to think of something specific.
Do I have to close my eyes?
It doesn't matter.
All right, yes, I have something.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pod of Dreams. If you listen, we will pod. I'm Ben, here with Eric and Kevin. How are you both doing, fellas?
I'm doing great.
My head is exploding, I got to be honest. It's blowing up right now.
Do you need, like, an Advil or something?
I don't think that's going to help.
No? I suppose if you don't have a head, Advil's pretty worthless if your head is just a big pile of viscera.
It's not going to keep it in.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were just really full of yourself. Got a big head.
Could be that. Is that a metaphor in this movie for being too full of yourself that your head blows up?
Unlikely.
Okay.
I don't think so, but it's a movie. It can be about whatever you want it to be. You can, whatever metaphor you like. All right, so we're talking about Scanners, David Cronenberg film, 1981. I picked this movie for a couple of reasons. The big reason is several months ago we talked Dead Ringers, and I really wanted to talk Cronenberg, but that's a frustrating Cronenberg movie that I don't like. And this one, it's a little more well known. It's early Cronenberg. I thought it'd be really fun to talk about. It was on HBO Max, and I really just wanted to revisit it. I hadn't seen it in a very long time. Just had a couple of memories of it. And it feels like an early Cronenberg movie on a side note, but what did you think, Kevin? And what was your, how long ago has it been since you said this was a movie you used to watch on like cable late night, TNT or whatever, wherever it would be on, right?
Yeah. Like I distinctly remember the video box that it came in for VHS movies. And I did rent it a few times and watched it.
Was it the Ironside picture where he's like, yeah,
it's a great cover.
Yeah, it's very memorable. His eyes are all whited out and he's all veiny.
Yeah, it's from the last scene, but yes, it's great.
Yeah. Having watched it back then, I thought it was an amazing movie.
Back then.
What
about 2024?
2024 me had some criticisms.
Sure.
Mainly
why
on
you gotta
Cameron
be
Bay.
A downer? Why you gotta be a downer?
Oh, is that the Eric? Are you jealous? Because that's your role usually.
No. Go cook. Cameron Vale. You don't like Cameron Vale.
What a zero. What a
absolute zero.
Completely uncharismatic dude.
I agree. I mean, I've got two main serious issues, and one is just I don't know what Cronenberg was thinking from a casting standpoint and from a directing standpoint. Like, the guy doesn't emote at all, hardly ever. And I gotta think Cronenberg knew, like, that's what he wanted. I don't think he was saying, like, more, and the guy kept saying, oh, hello, that was easy. Oh, this guy is a good guy, and I enjoy... I mean, I gotta think there was just some weird directorial decision, because otherwise, I can't rationalize it. He is as nothing of a protagonist as you can possibly get. It's very bizarre, and I go ahead, Eric. I've been waiting. I'm surprised you've withheld this long, waiting for you to unload on the tedium that is Cameron Vale, being the guy we're ostensibly supposed to root for.
No, so I had never seen this. I had never seen this movie before. We talked earlier. Cronenberg is a huge blind spot for me. I don't really, other than The Fly, I don't have a ton of memories. But I watched this. I also watched Eastern Promises, which, by the way, is a fucking awesome movie.
Indeed.
Eastern Promises is amazing. This movie makes no sense to me. It feels like they were just filming scenes one after another without any coherence in terms of plot or characters.
They were, by the way. There wasn't a script when they filmed this. And
right,
it's pretty obvious.
It feels that way. It really feels that way.
Yeah,
they're like writing scenes day of.
It feels like Cameron Vale showed up and was like, what do I say? I say, okay, I'm a scanner, and he didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't understand it, and then Ironside is a bad guy, but then he's not in the movie for more than half the movie, and there's just a bunch of discussion about things that don't happen. It was a very disjointed film.
It is. That's criticism, too, is the writing is non-existent and
a
problem.
Yeah. I mean,
Those are the two big ones.
The effects are super cool. The head and the other thing is, like, the best scene happens like 15 minutes into the movie with the head explosion. You're like, all right, I saw what I wanted to see. I'm done. And then you want to see something else. But that's basically the gist of the movie. I don't know. It's a weird, like, so I watched it with my brother, and he kept talking about how it's like an X-Men thing. How it's basically like Magneto and Professor X, and it kind of is an X-Men story with the telepaths and their mutants.
Yeah, I got X-Men vibes. Like, we have these powers. What do we do with them? People are scared.
Right.
Some are threatened. Some want to use us. There's bits of that there.
There's something interesting about. There's something there with that. But the Vale guy, like, what a talentless white. You talk about talentless white guys. Oh my god, that is like top tier talentless white dude. Like, why is he in this movie? What does he add? Nothing. It's very Canadian, I think.
Oh,
too.
Yes.
Is
that a strike for the movie?
Maybe a little bit.
Canada's a little too close to Minnesota, and you're just like,
I
don't want to ruin
this country.
We got some
Canadian listeners. I don't want to, isolate ourselves, but it's a very Canadian movie.
It's very Canadian. That wasn't a problem for me, but yes, you're like, oh yes, these are Canadian actors. This is very much Canada. It's fine. That's not a real issue compared to the other things. It's bizarre.
Is Cronenberg good? Like, is he a good filmmaker? I'm still not sold on it.
So he has one movie that's awesome, Eastern Promises, according to you. Dead Ringers.
I really like Eastern Promises.
So he's 1 for 3 for you, sounds like.
Well,
what about The Fly?
I saw The Fly. Fly's an amazing movie. It's been a really long time since I've seen that, but I have very fond memories of that movie.
So that's 2 for 4. So right now he's batting 500 with Great as the moniker, with Dead Ringers, which is not good, and then... I like this movie probably more than either one of you two do, but it's got serious problems. But the things I like about it is the filmmaking and, like, the art direction and the overall directions. And what I mean by that is, like, literally anytime anybody is scanned in this movie, it's this horrible, awful nightmare. Even if it's ostensibly the good guys doing it, it always looks horrific, whether it's a fetus or whatever. It's just consistently this droning sound appears, and it's just very distressing and upsetting. which to me is one of the things I liked about this movie. This is like, it's not like scanning is always menacing, even when it's a good person doing it. And I put good person in quotes, I guess. But
is this a horror movie? Like, would you, where would you put this in terms of, like,
it straddles the sci-fi horror line. I'd probably just say sci-fi, but you could.
It's kind of an action movie. There's like explosions and gun shootouts and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it straddles a lot of different lines. It's got some horror elements. It's got some sci-fi action-y elements. But it feels more sci-fi than anything. I mean, the way the movie ends is I love the ending. It's not earned is the problem, because we don't have Revick, Michael Ironside's character, on the screen very much, and it just sort of ends. Like, it leads to this big confrontation between Cameron and his, turns out to be his older brother.
Go through the plot a bit. Because I'm honestly still a little confused.
It's confusing. In the middle section, I didn't get. I got the broad strokes, but
Ben explains the movie. This is our segment, our new segment. Ben explains the movie.
So I'm gonna not explain the reveals in order, but so there's a drug that came out in 1947 which made scanners, and
ephemeral
or whatever it is. Ephemeral. Yeah. And the guy
who plays a great name for a drug, by the way.
It's a great name, but that's like a straight X-Men shit. Doesn't that sound like an X-Men plotline, right? No?
Sure. You could have the X-Men getting created because of some experimental drug. That's fine. And the guy who created the drug gave the drug to his pregnant wife, and it created the first two scanners, Michael Ironside and Cameron Bale. And nobody knew what was going on with them, so he apparently institutionalized them and monitored them, but it was a powerful drug, and lots of other people took ephemeral.
Did they ever explain why Ironside has the drill hole in his head?
Yes, he was going crazy because he kept hearing other people's thoughts, so he was trying to drill his own head. There's a scene where you see footage of him in some sort of medical institution.
Oh, that's
a younger Daryl. Yeah, he paints the eye on his door.
It says he's 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
So late 60s or whatever that would have been, or whatever, 1970. Yeah, so that's why he did that, because he was going insane. He didn't know what was happening to him. But at some
point, he didn't know he was a scanner?
at the time, no. Apparently he didn't know what was going on. Eventually he learned how to control his abilities. He learned what his father had done. And then he started, he took over a drug company, made a drug company, and created the connection to the other, was it Consec, the Canadian company. So he starts doing all that stuff. But the movie starts with Cameron Bale. It's such a weird opening. This is nothing. I just like how weirdly it opens. Cameron Bale is he's this homeless guy who wanders into a mall, and these old ladies are just snickering at how gross he looks. He's stealing people's food, and then he sees them, and he's just seeing this lady, and the lady just has a seizure. It's oh my gosh, what is happening? It turns out there are people who have been monitoring him, and they bring him in, and he meets the guy we're going to learn is his dad eventually, but he's you're a scanner. This drug will help. You have these abilities. And it turns out he's a phenom. And then, Michael Ironside are phenoms at this scanning. So he instantly gets it. Talk about a Mary Sue. He has virtually no training. He's just instantly good at scanning everything. It's one of the...
Sorry. You said he's a Mary Sue?
Yeah, it's one of these Twitter
Star
terms.
Trek.
One of these Twitter terms. I don't remember what the male equivalent is, but it's somebody who just has all these abilities and masters them without training because the film needs them to.
Is that a movie thing? A movie?
It's
moniker?
A criticism. Yes. So people call
a MacGuffin. It's a MacGuffin
kind of
thing?
People called Rey in Star Wars a Mary Sue because Jedi's trained their entire lives, but she's awesome, best Jedi ever with no training. Okay. She's instantly really, really good. They call her Mary Sue.
All right. Got it.
So anyway, he's that kind of.
I didn't know. I haven't heard that term before. Okay.
All right. Yeah, and it might be a Michael Sue. I don't know what the again. There's a
Ben Sue.
Sure, that's fine.
Ben Seward.
Sure, that works. But they bring him in. He's getting trained, but it turns out there's secrets. The company has his secrets. It's the middle section where everything gets messed up. I got the picture. I don't know what the organization was. He's trying to find Revick, the bad guy, Michael Ironside, for the guy. I only know him as the Braveheart guy. I don't know what the actor's name is. He plays the asshole father in Braveheart. You know what I'm talking about? Arrows cost money. The dead cost nothing.
He's the king. He's the king, right?
Yes, yeah. with the effeminate son who he hates.
Yeah. He's the king of England.
Yes, yeah. But he has got a name, but that's fine. I was trying to think it was Richard or whatever it was, and it doesn't matter. But I mean, he's in charge of that, and there's this corporate infighting that's happening. Revick shows up and kills the one scanner that's working for the company, but then he gets his son, Cameron Vale, in the fold.
Revick is at the same time, like, executing scanners, right? He's like, we see him just kind of kill all the scanners, right?
I guess, yeah. But I didn't know what the scanners were in the middle. Were the people that had joined Revick, or these were ones he hadn't found yet?
Those are one that was like a counter group to Revick, I think.
But like unaffiliated.
The woman that eventually joins, she was like a rebel, basically?
Yeah.
But unaffiliated with the corporation, they're just like, we're scanners and we're going to independently decide how to use our abilities for the collective good.
Yeah, we're not going to just kill every scanner that we meet.
But that's Xavier's school for the gifted, basically. Yeah. Sure, yeah, yeah. They're the X-Men.
And he's like almost like Wolverine. It's almost like Weapon X. The X-Men comparisons are actually like hitting pretty hard. Like Wolverine forgets who he is.
The whole time he's like, because I was confused. I was like, this movie makes no sense. He's like, dude, it's the X-Men. Just Magneto, Xavier. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. I can understand that.
Sure. That kind of works. If Cameron had a more distinct personality, that would be the problem is that Cameron is such a blank slate of nothingness. Like he doesn't have any real conviction. I don't believe he has any beliefs about anything. And that conflict isn't fleshed out enough to have earned it, right? Like, that confrontation with Revick needed to happen, like, earlier in the movie, and we needed to set up, like, ideological opposition and probably, like, a big conflict. But there was no budget and there was no script for this, which is part of why everything's, like, so small scale, relatively speaking. But, yeah, in the end, Revick wants to dominate the world with scanning abilities. Cameron decides not to. And they have a very weird psychic fight, which I loved. I mean, again, I thought that was a super cool sequence. Like, yeah, the veins are popping out.
You're jumping to the Ironside battle at the very end with Vale.
Yeah, that's a great sequence. It's a great ending.
It looks like his arm, the veins kind of explode on his arm and then on his face. Like, it is very well done, for sure. Like, I think it looks super cool. But a lot of it is just the guys staring at each other in a weird sound and them shaking and then just like weird things happening, but it does look very cool.
Yeah. I like it structurally. I mean, they're having a battle, this bizarre, I like that it's weird. There's not a lot like it. I can't think of too many scenes that echo it. I mean, well, it's like, it's terrifying. He's literally clawing his face at one point. He just
Magneto fighting Xavier in the X-Men movies. It's this like, they're just like looking at each other.
But Xavier doesn't claw his face.
Because the X-Men's not a horror movie. You know, that's right. I guess that's the big difference. It's not a rated R horror movie.
Right. It doesn't have this creepy edge. But even then, like when he goes to the artist, right? Because at one point he's trying to find Revick and he's got a lead. Here's a guy that's a scanner that doesn't seem to be working for Revick and is not working for us.
What a weird scene. Absolutely insane. He makes giant models of faces and things.
Yeah, I love it.
I thought that was cool.
The weirdness appealed to me.
What did you like about it, Kevin?
It was just how twisted everything was, how being a scanner would make it so difficult to just live. Put that in his art.
Yeah, there was one line where he's like, my art makes me sane or something like that. I thought that was a little bit of a Cronenberg writing his own issues.
Oh, of course.
In his movies. Yeah.
With all his weird stuff, I mean, Naked Lunch was also on HBO Max, but I didn't want to pick that one because I think you would hate it because it's just too weird and abstract. Visual effects are awesome, but it's just there'd be so much stuff you'd be like, this is weird and uncomfortable. Why did he put stuff that's weird and uncomfortable in a movie? I don't like things that are weird and uncomfortable, and it's super nightmarish.
He stars Buckaroo Banzai, too.
It does. Buckaroo Banzai himself. But no, I mean, I like the way it looked. I like the vibes and the feeling of this movie. Like, I like the way the movie looks and the general, yeah, horror, unsettling vibe. But the plot mechanics aren't there at all. And
yeah, like, you totally skipped over all the corporate espionage that was happening. There was like some, he so happened to get into this high security area, and then later he just dials up like he's a modem and then hacks into their mainframe. And the guy can't stop it for some reason and decides to just destroy his own data. And it ends up just killing him, so it was completely pointless. I don't know why.
Yeah, that character, I kind of forget about him because he just doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't get what does he get out of the Revick relationship? I get what Revick gets out of it. What's his motivation to partner with Revick? Is his goal just to be
like
CEO?
Keller or something like that?
Yeah, I can't remember. Just Canadian white douche. Like diet version of the guy from BlackBerry.
Does Revick run this company?
He was there, right?
He was there.
It's a different company. No, Revick is a
two companies.
Correct. BioWare or something. I don't remember what it was called.
Oh,
Cameron, which one makes Ephemeral? Which company?
Both of them do. He thought it was only Consec, but it's Consec. That's the big corporation that tries to, you know, has the scanner program where the guy that gets his head blown off, he works for Consec.
Oh, but I thought he was looking at the RIPE program. Do you remember they're talking about the RIPE program?
Professor, he couldn't get into a computer. The beard guy couldn't get into the computer because he didn't have access, but it was part of his program, right?
Well, there was some sort of deal. There's definitely two companies. Of that, I'm certain. The RIPE program, I can't really explain what that is. The movie does not spend enough time. But if you remember, Cameron Vail goes undercover as like Homer Simpson at the nuclear plant. And he just sees Revick in there. And that's a different company. He's in a different facility that Revick is running.
Okay.
And there's some contractual relationship between the two. I don't know if one sold Ephemeral so that they could recreate it at this other plant. Maybe that's what the RIPE program was. I don't know. It was super vague.
I think we're honing in on a problem with the movie, maybe.
Yeah, the writing. The writing is a big problem. It's the biggest problem. I could tolerate Cameron Vail being a nothing burger if there was actual writing, but it's just like, okay, now I'm watching a guy who I don't care about drift through a movie that doesn't have clear plot mechanics, guts. And I don't think David Cronenberg cares about the plot so much in general. A lot of his movies are a little, I mean, he doesn't go super airtight. Scripts and plots aren't what he cares about, but this is too loose. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, there are two companies. I don't know what Revick was doing. I don't know why the corporate guy was like, here, yeah, I'll give you a list of the scanners. For what? What did he want? Did he want to be higher up at the company?
Yeah. It's like Revick wanted to Ephemeral because he wanted his own army super soldiers.
Why did he want to kill all the scanners? Because part of what we see is him just like wiping out the scanners. That's like all we see with the Ironside is he's killing scanners, and then eventually he takes Cameron and brings him in and tells him he's his brother. That's like all we really see of Ironside, right?
Yeah, as far as him on screen, we see him like kill the guy at the demonstration.
They reference him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's talked about a lot, but we don't see him much. I think he kills any scanner that isn't on his side. Like, you're gonna join me, you're gonna be in my fold, you're gonna join my Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Because he brings in Cameron, he's like, Cameron, come with me, we're the best, like let's rule the world, and then Cameron says, no, they have a scan off, basically. They scan each other off.
Yeah, they have a scan off. And it's a cool concept that in the end, like, Cameron wins, his body's destroyed, but he just takes over Revick's brain.
So the end of this movie, they have their big scan battle. And then, so does Cameron go inside Ironside's brain?
Yep.
What's up with that? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be an Iron Sight?
Well, his body was trashed, so I think it was his only way of survival. It was either take over your brother's body or just die. I think those were his options. His body was on fire and like crippled and bleeding, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not gonna make it." And we see his body at the end, and I love that shot, like just lying there, basically like in the crucified position, just charred. Like, oh god, that looks really awful. And he's just like hovered over in the corner, shaking, with the weird voice. His voice. I don't know why his voice changed. That doesn't make sense. You think he would have Revick's voice, but I think just to remove the ambiguity, they wanted him to have Cameron's voice. But yeah, I mean, that's what happens. But yeah, this is not. There's just not enough happening with relevant people.
Are they? So they're telepathic scanners, right? They can read minds. They can control minds. Mm-hmm. Are they telekinetic also? I was confused, but they can't. Can they lift shit with their brains? They can start things on fire.
Which is where it gets weird. Because, yes, they can telekinetically, they can do, like, Blueberry or Firestarter shit. And I think we do see them move some objects with their mind at some point in the movie, although I can't remember what. So there's some vagueness. There's some deliberate
vagueness. Confused about what the actual power was as a scanner.
Yeah, he does. They don't explain it.
And a scanner is a terrible way to describe what they're doing. It's actually a really bad name for this movie. Like, what the fucking... They do more than just scan. Like, they control minds.
Yeah, it's a weird choice. I mean, it's better than the Sensitives, I think, but not much.
The Sensitives.
That was the original title. And then
it was very Stephen King, Shining. The Shining is a very similar power. It was very Stephen King-esque to me, is what I took away from this. And it's not surprising to me that Cronenberg did a Stephen King. He did Dead Zone.
Yeah.
He's probably very influenced by Stephen King.
Yeah, it's just a very 80s type of horror movie, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we just meet those characters in the middle and they just die instantly. We know none of their names.
I very much liked, was Kim, what's her name, the woman? Very big fan of her. She was very great. I enjoyed her.
What did you like about her?
I thought she was a great actor. Really sold the part very well.
I
liked her gray hair. You don't see a lot of women with gray hairs in movies. You don't see that often. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Big fan.
I kept getting baffled. Like, all right, can't you tell if you're a scanner that there's somebody about to shoot you? Can't you sense that mentally?
If there's a baby scanner, you can sense it, but you can't sense another adult scanner.
The baby scanned her. That was the thing. Is like, but that's true. Like, you think, like, if you can read minds.
Unborn fetus scanner. Yep. Wasn't even a baby.
And that was Revick's plan, was to, like, start, like, bribing doctors or coercing them to prescribe femoral a bunch so there'd be just a new crop of babies that they could raise and create a new army. Basically, you know, propagandize them and not let them, you know, form their own opinions. It was just all too vague. I mean, There was a great movie in here, but it's. I mean, this is a question because I honestly have been thinking as this baffle. I mean, do you think Cronenberg wanted this performance for Cameron Vale? Do you think that was a goal?
Well, there's a lot of movies. You know, Keanu Reeves, right? Is he always a great lead? Sometimes the bland, boring lead character works, right? Sometimes that's what you want. I think this movie needed a little more. He just needed to be more human. He didn't seem like an actual human being.
No, he seemed like a robot, like a Tabula Rosa robot with no personality. And he didn't have, even more than that, he didn't seem to have like an ideology, really. He didn't seem to have an actual
opinion.
What did
he want? What did he even care about any of this?
No, right. He just like, he's 35 and basically has no memories of anything before he was 35. And he's just like, trust this doctor who, and we didn't even talk about it, the doctor goes crazy towards the end. It was
Dr.
Guilt?
Ruth? Are you talking about Dr. Ruth?
Yes, Dr. Ruth. The arrows cost money. Like,
is that the same guy?
Yes, no. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yes.
Is it really the same guy?
Yes. Arrows cost money. The death cost nothing. That's the same guy. Yes. That's the exact same guy. That's why I was like, oh, okay, this guy's in this movie. Okay, good for him. Yeah, but he... So they're going to try to get to the computer to figure out what the stupid secret program is. I can't even remember the name of the dumb... the secret project. And he's like, we got... no,
Ripe,
we
Ripe. Ripe.
Ripe, there we go.
Ripe, yeah.
Ripe. It's, okay. Ripe, that's, I think, the newborn baby program. So I think that's why... I think the other company was buying ephemeral and then having doctors prescribe it. That's what I think was happening. I don't know that for a fact. That's my best guess. Well, they find out they got to figure out what the Ripe program is, and they're going to the computer. And Cameron's like, no, I have to go save Kim. And then he just has a... Dr. Ruth has a breakdown after that. Why was that the breaking point? He's like, he just sits there, like, muttering. And just... I didn't understand, because do either one of you know why he lost his mind? Do we know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Nobody is offering up any explanation. I'm just getting these Cameron Vale blank stares.
Yeah, I think back. It was just to get him off of the plot and moving on.
Yeah, they just need to kill him, which is why the other guy had to die too when the computer exploded. I mean, like, that scene doesn't make any sense, the computer scene, but I did like it. I just like the nerdy tech guys with their gigantic 1981 computer. They're like, I don't want to destroy this, so you're fine. It's just going to be some burning circuits.
He pulls a gun out. He's like, fucking do it. He's like, okay, type.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. They're like, hey, there's nothing to worry about. I can't
do it,
sir.
Gun, better do it or I'll kill you. Type. Yeah,
I'm like, why is this guy making this choice right now? I don't... Yeah. Like, is he worried people are going to find the right program? He's going to go... It was a very bizarre choice. Like, you think you're going to escape holding a gun on these dudes? Seems like they're going to report that and you're going to get in trouble. Like, I think there's going to be a complaint filed. I mean, if one of my bosses put a gun in my face, I'd probably talk to somebody about it.
But you would listen to him first.
Well, sure.
You'd have
sure.
to. You don't want to get your brains blown out.
Yeah. But then it's just these fantastic explosions. Just...
Yeah. Monitors blown up.
That's the other thing. Like, anytime, like, the car in the beginning, the one that gets with Revic and he scans the driver to peel off the road, that thing just goes off and starts burning the people immediately inside the car. Anytime anything hits anything else, it was just giant explosion.
I did like the sequence where they... Where Cameron and the woman leave. They're in a bus, right? Aren't they in a bus or something like that?
Yeah, they're driving in a bus. They're getting away from their little school for the executive.
Which was, they were all holding hands and doing the kumbaya... mind melds thing or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, and then, it's like Scientologists or something.
Yeah, sure.
But they couldn't sense the guy getting shot. They couldn't sense the person coming up the stairs.
It didn't make
shotgun.
Sense how they didn't sense any of that.
Right.
But then there's a like shootout where they open up the windows and the guys shoot through the, you know, the bus or whatever, and they crashed. I thought that was a cool action sequence.
Sure.
And then they're at like a record store or something like
that.
Oh,
I love the set. See, like, I love the setting for almost every spot that this movie takes place in. I love every building, every set, like every location. I love the gross, dingy, abandoned building.
Yeah, he like pulls out his shotgun and undoes the thing and starts loading the bullets and then walks down and is about to kill them and then they scan him. I that was my favorite part of the movie, actually.
See, yeah, all these things you point out, like there's this just incredibly stylish, cool choices that I enjoy so much about this movie. It just has no narrative thread whatsoever.
Eric, you like that part better than the head explosion?
Well, you know, honestly, the head explosion thing is one of those. It's like the Apocalypse Now a helicopter scene where it's like, this is the movie's not going to get better than this.
Oh, the Flight of the Valkyries scene.
Flight of the Valkyries is like, I kind of want to turn it off after this. Like, it's only downhill from here. And the head explosion thing with this movie, it happens, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes into the movie. Yeah. You're kind of like, is this going to get better than this? No, because this is incredible. I mean, that's the best part of the movie, is that explosion. Like, there's so much tension in this scene. They're, like, on TV, and the guy, you know, Ironside comes up just looking like a fucking badass, and he sits down, and they just start going back and forth, the head thing, and the guy's shaking his head. And then it just, his brains just explode. It's absolutely incredible. And I saw somewhere where it was like they filled this fake head with like hamburger meat, like actual like weird things, and then just shot it with a shotgun from behind. Like a literal like 12-gauge shotgun just blasted this fake head. And I think it looks awesome.
No, it does. It does look awesome. I mean, all the effects are great. And this is
top 10 head explosion.
And because this is the early 80s, right, you talk about the record store scene, like they literally crashed a bus into a record store. I mean, that they drove it through. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. That's genuinely fun to look at. Yeah, I don't know. It's a movie. I wanted it to be a lot better than it was because I love the direction.
It just has a meandering plot without any real connection. The characters aren't that great. It's got a cool idea. It's a very cool idea.
Yeah.
It's a script problem. There was just no, you know, screenwriter tying it all together. This to me is like a perfect example of it's well made. There's a lot of money behind it. The actors aren't bad. It's just the script is awful. It's just a terrible movie script. It's a good idea without a good script.
Yeah, well, no, it didn't have a script. This was a fairly small budget movie for. I mean, this cost $4 million to make, and it made $14 million.
Early '80s, what is that? $40 million in today's money?
Maybe, I don't know.
That's still a small budget movie.
Yeah, it's not a big budget movie. Yeah, this is. I mean,
it's not Dune.
No, Cronenberg's still a pretty young director at this point, and I think he was able to show enough about what he could do, and because the movie made money, I mean, you know, if you make $10 million in 1981, that's success.
So this is before Fly. The Fly.
Yeah.
Fly was what, 86 or so.
Yeah. Yep. It's after The Brood, before The Fly. Four Dead Ringers, obviously, before Naked Lunch. Videodrome was, I think, next after this, which is, I think, for my money, David Cronenberg.
So you guys genuinely like David Cronenberg as a director? Are you a big fan?
Yeah.
I am. He misses. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best of all time, but yes, and he's got a very distinct visual style, and his movies are super interesting. Instead, Eastern Promises, the one that you saw, Eric, you should definitely see A History of Violence. I think you'd like it too. I mean, there's no reason you wouldn't also like that one.
History of Violence, I
watched Eastern Promises. I thought it was like one of the best like gangster movies I've seen in a very long time.
Okay.
Very, very, very well done. Viggo Mortensen was like top five badass film characters like ever. I didn't like Dead Ringers. We talked about it. Didn't like it. The Fly is a big movie for me as a kid. Dead Zone's okay. I like the book a lot. Movie is all right. To me, honestly, I really didn't like this movie that much. I got to be honest. Didn't care for it.
That's fine. I like this movie a lot more than probably either one of you. But I mean, this movie's got serious problems. It ranks lower in his oeuvre, but he makes some really interesting, great movies, and he takes chances, and he makes his kind of movie. He's not compromised. He's making good stuff. I think Videodrome is, it's not going to be another tight plot, but it's way more interesting than this movie. If you're saying he's got two great movies, how many great movies does somebody need to have before they're a great director? I mean...
None. I mean, like, I saw his son has a series of films too. Possessor. I actually like that. I think I like that more than any of his dad's movies I've seen.
Interesting.
Well, no, I mean, Eastern Promises is better, but it's not a horror movie. Possessor was like a fucking gross out.
Yeah, Possessor is a fucking nightmare movie.
Yes.
Almost literally. But I mean, I like Videodrome more than Possessor. Probably Eastern Promises, The History of Violence, and Naked Lunch all more than Possessor. But he has some of the same interests as his dad. It's interesting.
But it's body horror, right? He's like the king of body horror, don't you? Yeah. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But I think he's great. I mean, but
and Crash, this movie is body horror. I mean, there's
and I've
a bunch
never
of
seen
veins.
Crash. Have you seen that, Kevin?
No. The one movie that you guys have mentioned that I really like is Existence.
Oh, Existence, yeah.
Yeah, that one. There's a chicken bone gun that just blew my mind.
Is that Jude Law?
Yeah.
Okay.
From 1999. Science fiction horror film.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, well,
Willem Dafoe is also in it.
Well, Crash is a movie that was like NC-17, I think, and it was about people that are into being in car crashes and they're turned on.
Oh, I did see that movie, yeah.
Yeah, not the best picture winner from 2005. That was super extreme body horror.
I think James Spader was in Crash.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, that was okay. It was hard to relate to the protagonist, let's just say.
Okay, fair enough. It's a very idiosyncratic kink.
Yeah. They got turned on by car crashes.
Yeah, that's right. I've never seen it.
He put out a movie in 2022, Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, that's with Viggo as well.
Viggo and Kristen Stewart, I think, was in it too, wasn't she?
Yeah, he's working on another movie. He's getting up there in age, though.
Do you just not like him because he's Canadian? Is there some anti-Canadian vitriol here, Eric?
Do I not like Canadians? Canadians are great.
Okay, you just said this movie was too Canadian. I don't know. You sent the David Cronenberg. He's like fighting an uphill battle in your eye.
They have an aesthetic. Canadians have a way about them. Yeah. I don't know.
That's where the vampires hang out.
Yeah. Waterloo!
Interesting. Okay. No, I mean, I think...
Yeah, he was born in 43. So, what, he's 80? What, 81? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo, 81.
That's good. That's getting up there.
Sure. I don't know. Yeah, I think he's great. I don't know. He's got lots of stuff, and not all of his stuff is easy and likable, and not everything's great. But I think I admire he's a movie dude that makes the movies he wants to make that he thinks are interesting. Not all of them are like super commercially viable like stuff. No, I think he's excellent. I mean, if you're saying is he as good as the absolute best, probably no. But
I do like he has a very distinct style.
Yeah.
Like a David Lynch. It's just you recognize his movies when you see them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the kind of guy that would, like, make a Marvel movie. You know, like, he's making his movies.
And even when he does something like History of Violence or Eastern Promises, I mean, a gangster movie in one case.
Right.
It's still visceral.
Even in Eastern Promises, there's a scene where he slits a guy's throat and they watch him like cut open the veins in the guy's neck and is like, it's disgusting. Yes. I mean, it's absolutely grotesque. There's a scene where Viggo's like cutting off the guy's fingers and arms to fit him into a suitcase. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah. And that's also got one of the best bathroom fights ever, right? That's Eastern Promises, the naked
butt-ass naked in a spa, yeah.
It was like so well choreographed and intense and felt so real. It's like, oh my god, they made this feel very fucking real. I feel like this is two naked dudes in a bathroom fighting to the death. This is crazy. I don't know. Yeah, so I think he's great. You're not gonna love everything he does. I don't love everything he does, but
I need to watch more of his movies. He's somebody that I'm interested in. Don't love it, like. Dead Ringers and this didn't love either.
Dead
of
Ringers
these
is
movies.
His worst movie that I've seen. I rank that at the bottom.
Yeah, I think that's probably universally panned.
And you think two of his movies are great, so I think you need to just give him a little bit more of a chance. But yeah, if maybe I'll pick Naked Lunch sometime, and then that'll put the nail in the coffin. If Videodrome comes available to stream somewhere, I'm going to pick it because I'm ripe for a revisit. That one's body horror. Mega intense, like the metaphor is really crazy, and there's probably
James Woods' politics too.
No, that's the worst part is that James Woods is the lead.
He's better lead than Cameron Vale though.
Well, yeah, he has charisma compared to this dude. Yeah, I mean he's got
James Woods as an actor, not a terrible actor. He's got some stuff to him. He's got some chops.
And he plays a slime ball in Videodrome, so it's not like it's not
a stretch.
It's not like you kind of root for him a little bit. And I don't know. And Scanner seems to me like I think we're going for an evil pharmaceutical company metaphor somewhere in there too. But nothing that's fully realized. There's no meat on the bone because there's just not enough script there. But then, I think we all seem to be basically in agreement about the movie in terms of like the actual problems. But this is going to be interesting. Eric, you didn't like this movie. You think maybe it's worse than Dead Ringers. Give us the number.
I would say 2.5, 3 stars.
You got to pick one. And that, come on.
2.5. I'll go 2.5.
Okay.
Just because I did, I really like couldn't track the plot. I really couldn't track it.
Okay. So it's, I'll go next. I think Kevin and I are not going to agree on a score this time. I think we're going to be.
I would love it if you guys did. If you had the exact same score.
It was a movie. Like while I was watching it, I enjoyed it more. Like I don't. Man, the plot stuff was frustrating because it felt like a movie that needed a plot. Sometimes movies don't have one, or it's really abstract, you know, Mulholland Drive, whatever. Like, that's a movie that's not super interested in plot, and it's not a problem. This is a movie that felt like it really needed a plot to make everything work. And if you wanted it to be more abstract, then we needed to take a different direction. And if we needed, but I think it needed a tighter plot. It's frustrating, but I loved all the things that I watched in terms of style, how it looked, how it felt, I enjoyed immensely. I loved all the set pieces. I loved the way it looked. I loved the computers blowing up. It didn't make sense, but I loved it. I loved the fight at the end. I liked it so much. But then there's just this guy who's the lead, and you're like, I don't care about this. It's so frustrating. I gave this movie 3.5, ultimately, is where I landed. I really liked the movie. I want to like it more. I thought about it before. It was like, this really is a script problem and a lead problem to me in that order, and they're really substantial. But I love the direction, and I enjoyed watching it. I had way more fun watching it than you did, but I concede all those two things are big problems. Where are you at, Kim?
Well, 13 or 14-year-old me would have given it 5 stars.
Sure.
I didn't care about plot or acting or anything like that. I just...
You're just like, the head blew up! Woo!
Yeah, and like the practical effects were stunning, even now.
Yeah.
But yeah, nowadays watching it, I couldn't get over how wooden Cameron Bale came off, and how little I cared about what he was doing and why he was doing it, and I think that is a plot problem. So for me, I love the art direction in it. Everything looked great. I especially love the ad for Ephemeral. That looked like a real ad to me. In the
magazine?
Yeah, in the magazine.
Yes.
That looked tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
So there are good things about the movie, but I landed on 3 stars.
Okay.
Is a good movie, not great.
So close. Side note, I was reading James Wood's Wikipedia page, and apparently on August 1st, 2001, he was on a flight from Boston to Los Angeles, and he identified 4 of the 19 terrorists that hijacked planes on 9/11 and talked to the FBI and identified them as like scoping out the plane and the flight.
The man's a hero.
Yeah, he's a hero. Don't ever talk shit about James Woods. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys are finally not on the same page on a movie. You're a half star off.
This is a violent disagreement. A half star revelation. On Scanners. We'll never.
I mean, I could give it 3.5, but no.
So Ben, had you seen this before and changed your opinion of it? Is that
It was a long true? Time ago. I didn't remember it that well. I remember vaguely liking it. But at the time, it was one of those movies I was like aware of, and then so I saw it when I was probably in like college or law school. Like, oh, I haven't seen Scanners. I should watch Scanners, a movie I'm vaguely aware of, and I watched it, and I think I really liked it, and just probably enjoyed the visual effects and didn't pay much attention to really what was going on and really thinking about it. So my opinion maybe is probably a little cooler than it was then, but probably not a lot. It wasn't like the first time I saw a Cronenberg movie that was like, oh, that was great was Videodrome. So this was more like I just thought it was probably cool and fun. And it's fun, but it doesn't make sense. And the lead is as bland of a lead. This is like an all-time dull what is this happening with this leaf? There's just nothing there.
Yeah.
So it didn't change much. Maybe a little cooler, but it's fine. This is early Cronenberg. It needed a script. He made it without a script, which, considering there's no script, it turned out okay, but yeah.
That explains a lot, though, when you said that. It was like, oh, of course.
Like, that's why. They're just, like, piecing it together. Yeah. How do we make this work? Well, how about this? And then it's like, because he had the idea. He knew the visual effects. He knew how he wanted it to look, but that was
one. And he had some cool scenes plotted out, but
yeah,
no connective tissue to really make it gel. Okay.
But I would say it's worth the price of admission, or at least just watch the full head blowing up scene for anybody that wants to. I mean, I'm sure it's available on Google. The lead up to it is great, and then just the confused audience members who are like not sure what's going on.
But that scene also, like, is Ironsight, he's like just a member of the audience, and they're all scanners, and they just bring him up. It doesn't make any sense what's happening.
Well, he got through security somehow, and those were all like other business executives that were interested in what, maybe like investing in ConSec or something.
Yeah, sure. Or we have this potential new tool that is available for hire. Yeah, I don't know. Or we think things are going to change.
Like telekinetics? Like, what's the tool? Like learning?
A scanner. Literally, scanners exist. And we've got one, and this is a new thing that we need to think and talk about.
But he was just in the audience. He's like, all right, I'll come up. And
well, he was deliberately went to the audience on purpose. He didn't happen to be in the audience. I mean, he got credentials the same way Cameron Vale got credentials at Revix company. I mean, whatever. He could just have convinced somebody to let him in. Like,
sure.
I'm good.
It's a Jedi mind trick.
Sure, yeah, yes.
These are not the droids you're looking for yet.
And then nobody wanted to volunteer because they listed all the horrific side effects, which is where there's this real, like, pharmaceutical sort of slant. Nausea, headache, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Head explosion?
Sure. And nobody volunteered, and maybe he made everybody not volunteer. I don't know, but I think that was his goal. Or maybe he originally was going to go there to just observe, but then he's like, oh, I can blow this guy's heads up, and they can't get me. I don't know. I kept wondering why people weren't shooting him. Like, I just was confused. Like, hey,
yeah,
these people can control minds. Like, just shoot them. Like, do something. You just got to shoot him.
You know, he could control that. If you point a gun at him, he could be like, nope.
Right, but he's got to focus on some level. He's got to be paying attention. I don't know, like, there's five dudes there, and Revic doesn't do anything except for make the guy not put the drug in his hand. Like, he injects himself instead of Revic with the trank.
You think he would notice that? You think he would have seen that?
Right. Like, nobody paid attention. They just got the okay from the doctor and moved on. But yeah, I guess theoretically, I don't know this is where we don't know the extent. Is there a limit? How many brains can they control at once? Can they control? It looks like they can only do like one or two. Like, they can't do more than that.
There's a problem with, like, what is their power? What can they do? What's the extent of it?
Well, that bothered me less, but it is weird when you don't have a tight script. Like, I don't want to forgive your vague powers when you really don't know where you're going with it. But I think it's worth the price of admission. Eric disagrees probably, but I think it's a fun watch. I wasn't bored by it. I was confused at times, but I wasn't bored watching it. I was like, okay, they're doing a seance now. Why? To what end? What's their goal? Yeah. I don't know. It looks interesting. Now there are people here with shotguns. Oh, okay. Somebody's now on fire. Oh, okay. Interesting. Now there's people shooting them in the streets and they're crashing. Okay. I don't know who's doing what and why, but I'm not bored.
So do you think Revic is mind controlling those assassins? I mean, where did he get these assassins and why are they?
Must have been.
I thought they were his scanners that worked for him. Because one of them had the ephemeral, the one that is there at the record store. Why would that guy have drugs on him if he didn't use them for himself?
Oh, I think Revic was controlling. They were just regular people he was controlling.
Oh, okay. But still, why did the guy have ephemeral on his body?
Could inject the other scanners.
Well, I thought they just wanted to kill him. Why did they need to inject the other scanners? They literally kill every scanner. And they tried to. Okay. It's fine. There's no point. That doesn't make sense. It's not clearly thought out.
I don't have an answer.
Maybe they were just regular people. And the one guy recovered quickly because we had the one guy that was at the artist shack, and then the other, and then he came later to the scanner club.
Oh, I just thought they just ran out of actors or something.
Well, that's probably it, but it's like, oh, I thought you got messed up in the shack, but I guess you recovered quickly. Okay. And that was when we're like, another vague power. They're in the shack, and then people are just flying across the room. Like, what's happening? Are they just going mad and just flinging themselves? One guy went backwards in a way that didn't make sense.
Oh, maybe that's the telekinesis part of it.
Right. Like, I don't know.
That's telekinesis, Kyle.
Yeah. It's levitation.
How about the powers to move you?
All right. Well,
so that's the history of Wonder Boy. Eric, set us up for next week, sir.
Oh, okay. So we're done with scanners. We're done scanning.
I don't have much else to say. I mean, I think
I'm
fun.
You're done scanning me?
Yes.
Eric's maybe. Not. If you enjoy it, I'll keep scanning.
Ooh, Eric just flipped his tongue.
All right. So next movie, should we move on to the next film that we're watching?
Let's do it.
All right, so this movie was released in the year 1988.
Okay. Rain Man?
Nope.
Die Hard?
There is an actor in this movie who received a nomination for Worst Supporting Actor by the Golden Raspberry Awards.
Okay, that doesn't narrow it down very much, but...
Nope.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the raspberries enough to have any clue.
Doesn't help a whole lot. This movie has David Bowie in it.
Labyrinth?
Nope.
This annoys me. What else was Bowie in the late 80s? I don't know.
No guess? None. This also received a Golden Globe Award for Best Original Score. And the score was done by Peter Gabriel. You know, the guy from Genesis and...
Yeah, I know who. Sledgehammer, yep.
Sledgehammer, yeah.
Shock the Monkey. Salisbury Hill. Big Time.
Boom, 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 yeah.
I'm on my way, I'm making it.
Yeah. The director of this movie received a nomination for Academy Award for Best Director.
Okay. So now this is jarring. So the director...
I thought that would throw you off a little bit. Yeah, throw you off a little bit.
It did. The supporting actor that I think is really bad in this movie, David Bowie is in it.
David Bowie was not the one nominated for Worst Supporting Actor, but he is
in it. Doesn't matter.
Harvey Keitel was the one that received the nomination for Worst Supporting Actor.
In this movie that you're talking about?
Yes. This is the movie we are watching next. You will be watching this movie, Kevin. Unless you protest. You may protest it.
Never.
I am flummoxed. No. I got nothing.
1988, that's...
1988.
Huh.
Eric was a 6-year-old tearing up St. Paul when this movie was released.
Yep. Okay, let's see. Any other clues that won't totally give it away? Because Michael Biehn is also in this movie.
So okay. After Aliens, he...
Yep.
He and Harvey Keitel teamed up with David Bowie.
Uh-huh. Sting passed on the role that later went to David Bowie. That probably doesn't help much.
Is it like a singing?
Roger Ebert gave this 4 out of 4 stars. And it included on his list of great movies. It's on Roger Ebert's list of great movies.
I've probably seen it before. I don't know that I've seen all of his great movies, but
I'm certain you have seen this movie. I have not seen it. Which is why, one of the reasons I picked it.
Harvey Keitel, Michael Biehn.
All right, no guesses. I'll just give it away here. It's directed by Martin Scorsese.
I've been thinking of Scorsese in '88. What?
and written by Paul Schrader.
Okay, so I mean,
wait, did they do Taxi Driver together?
It stars Willem Dafoe and Harvey Keitel and Dave.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
Last Temptation of.
Yes, I thought it's Easter. That you...
Oh my God!
It's Easter. Easter. He has risen. The Lord has risen from his cave. I thought let's watch.
Bowie is in this movie. I have no memory of David Bowie in The Last Temptation of Christ.
I've never seen it.
This is going to be a fun, loaded discussion.
It's on HBO Max. It's on Max.
I remember why Harvey Keitel.
It's on. It's on Prime. It's on Prime.
Oh, nice.
I assume you guys have Prime.
So I remember why Harvey Keitel got nominated for Golden Razz because he had that terrible Brooklyn accent or whatever.
And yes, yet he plays Judas.
One of the yeah.
He plays literally the guy that betrays Jesus. Okay.
Right. I thought Easter. Let's watch.
Thinking of The Last Temptation of Christ. We're like, Eric's not going to pick The Last Temptation of Christ. My brain was like, that does not compute.
I thought it'd be a fun movie to watch.
It's a hoot, right?
It's a
lighthearted romp. Most people, you know, think Step Brothers is the funniest movie of all time. It's really, it's comedy. The Last Temptation of Christ. It's number one.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Okay.
This is a movie I'll be watching.
Yep.
Yes, I have seen this movie before. It has been quite a while.
Turbo knows we're done. Turbo knows it's over. He always comes down when the pot is
over. He just heard the name Christ and he perked up.
What'd you think of it, Ben?
I liked it at the time.
Spoiler!
But it's a weird movie. There's a lot. I mean, Christians hated it. I cannot articulate my thoughts on this movie. This is going to be tough. Okay. I don't know that I have the ability to describe everything that I think is going on. This is going to be a...
Is the temptation that he just lived a peaceful life with Mary Magdalene or something like that?
I mean, how much of the plot should I give away at this point? I mean, sort of. But maybe... I mean, that's something we need to talk about next week, I guess.
Is Caitlin Clark Jesus? I think. Did we learn that in this movie? Is she no? She's not Jesus.
And what's tempting her?
Yeah.
A national championship? I don't know where we're going with this metaphor.
She might win it. She is the reincarnation of the Lord our Savior, Jesus our Christ.
Oh man.
Wait,
Jesus
R.
Christ? What's his middle name? What's his R? What's his middle name? Reuben?
I don't know. Robert? No? Richard? Jesus Dick Christ? I don't know. Hey, Jeez. Thanks for listening, everybody. Fun dreams. Keep on potting.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Oh my God.